We're now about to hear from Kieran Bush. Yeah. Kieran is the chair of Renew, of the Renew planning team, as well as a vicar of St John's Church, Walthamstow. Hi, Kieran.
Hello.
We're really thankful for you and for all your labours for Christ and his people. Can I just ask you, in your own context, what is one thing that's caused you to lament this year and one thing you're hopeful for?
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. I often live in the present, and so both of these things are in the last month. I'll go for the hopeful one first. It was a great joy at the beginning of September to send to train at Oak Hill Tim, our minister in training. It's the first time, I think, in 30 years someone has been sent for training in St John's Church family. And I pray that he won't end up as a liberal archdeacon in Wales. So it's lovely to have trained someone ourselves, homegrown, and send them for training. That's been a huge encouragement. The challenge on the very same Sunday, two families left St John's because they could no longer stay in the Church of England and because they were really sad that I'm contending with the Alliance and think that I shouldn't be partnering with such folk so in any way. So joys and laments on the same Sunday as people left us, joys of sending out, sadness as people leave.
Thank you for sharing that, Kieran. Just to say, in all that Kieran is going to say, there will be a question and answer panel later on. So if you've got questions, do write them down. And then you can submit questions using Slido, and hopefully the details for that. If you don't know how that works, find the youngest person on your table or the person who has a mobile phone in their back pocket and ask them either to show you or let's serve each other and do it for other people. So if you've got a question you want to ask, you don't know how to do it, ask someone tech savvy to do it for you. Kieran.
Thank you. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people repeatedly put their trust in the wrong places. Other gods, human leaders, chariots, horses, Egypt, Assyria, money, their own righteousness, and so on, with disastrous consequences. Today we can easily do the same. Often the first step to finding true hope involves realizing where there is no hope, no grounds for confidence. Friends, we can have no confidence in the current House of Bishops. We must stop pretending that we can. That day is over. The current House of Bishops, they've abandoned the apostolic faith, biblical morality, and even good process as their latest attempts to gerrymander the Crown Nomination Committee votes shows. They are twisting the gospel and they are leading many astray with devastating eternal consequences. There is no hope in the current House of Bishops. But I don't think that means there is no point contending within the Church of England. We can be hugely grateful to God for those faithfully contending in the current structures, including Orthodox bishops like Rob Munro, like Paul Williams and others, like numerous General Synod reps, including many here, thank you, and those serving in DEFs, the Church of England Evangelical Council, and the Alliance. We praise God for the ways he is using you to restrain evil in our country and in our churches. Alongside others, many of us will continue to contend for the gospel in the Church of England, legally resisting the bad principles and bad processes being pushed through by the archbishops and bishops, and in General Synod and Diocesan Synod and even Deanery Synods, and in the 2026 General Synod elections themselves. But as John Dunnett, the National Director of CEEC, who we are delighted to have here with us, has regularly said, the prayers of love and faith bus continues to roll forwards towards same-sex marriage in the Church of England. both militant liberals and those in overall leadership are increasingly determined to get PLF done. We must not put our trust in anything other than our great God. There is no hope in the current House of Bishops. We must stop pretending there is. That day is over. And yet often in the Bible, when God pronounces judgment on ungodly leaders, he simultaneously promises to raise up new leaders, to give his people shepherds after my own heart in Jeremiah 3, to give the vineyard to others, to answer his people's prayers by sending out laborers into his harvest. And friends, in our generation, the Lord seems to be raising up new leaders and new structures under our great Lord Jesus. So under the leadership of John Dunnett and Keith Sinclair and Julian Henderson and others, the Church of England Evangelical Council has been working hard to strengthen diocese evangelical fellowships, to draw together networks, including reps from Renew, to promote and maintain orthodox evangelical theology and ethics at the heart of the Church of England. Over recent months, the Church of England Evangelical Council have appointed a growing cohort of alternative spiritual overseers, including many from Renew. They've established the Ephesian Fund to enable PCCs and individuals to only fund evangelical ministries in England that hold to biblical and apostolic doctrine. CEC are urging churches and clergy to act now to demonstrate our concern about the House of Bishops' leadership. Without more clergy, without more churches taking action, they say we run the risk of being ignored or dismissed, making the CEC goal of a negotiated permanent provision for apostolic Christianity less likely. The Alliance was set up after February 2023's General Synod. As well as Renew, it includes the Church of England Evangelical Council, the HTB Network, Traditional Catholics, Orthodox Ordinands, and Orthodox Women. Vaughan Roberts, who is sad not to be with us, he's in Lausanne, at the Lausanne Conference. He has recently become one of the seven directors of the Alliance. And around a quarter of those at the bi-monthly stakeholder meetings belong to Renew churches. These stakeholders have written several letters to the archbishops advocating for good legal process to be followed and for permanent structural provisions to be made for the Orthodox. The Alliance recently promised to set up a de facto parallel province within the Church of England. To help us understand that, Charlie Screen is going to come and join me. Charlie is Rector of All Souls, Langham Place. He's on General Synod. He's a CEC council member, an Alliance stakeholder, and. He wears lots of hats. Charlie, thank you so much. We praise God for you. Thank you for all you are doing to contend for the gospel in the Church of England. Charlie, what is a de facto parallel province?
Thank you for the question. Hi, everyone. I think people have misunderstood that. I think people have thought that it is sort of what we want as the permanent, perfect solution. And that is not right. So you know, we are not going to write polity books about de facto parallel provinces and send them to all our Baptist friends and say, this is what you need. You need one of these. No, it is, I think, very like what most of us have been doing in our churches already. So we said to our church, there are some things that we absolutely must do because of Bible conscience. We must secure orthodoxy and we must differentiate from false teaching. But we cannot do that within the Church of England well without the cooperation of the denomination. And I hope this is not news to you. You know, the denomination is significantly reluctant to cooperate. So what we can do is what is within our power as individuals and churches as we build something that will be a step on the way to what we want that will be permanent and will be good. And I hope that is something that many people here could get behind. So the vocabulary, let me see if I can remember it all. So de facto, that means in practice. So the opposite is in law, de jure. In other words, this is an appropriate response to what the leadership of the denomination have done. They have established in practice, de facto, changes in doctrine and practice with zero legal basis for them. And so here is our de facto response. De facto parallel. So that means that at All Souls, we will operate as members of two things. We are part of the province of Canterbury, and we will also be part of the Alliance province, de facto province. So, for example, Julian Henderson is our CEC Alternative Spiritual Overseer, and he is not our real bishop. But he is coming on a Monday next month, and I will begin treating him as if he was our bishop as he meets my staff team and my PCC. So it's in parallel. And I think over time that will shift. So increasingly, we will be enthusiastic partners with our Alliance friends, and we will be doing the legal minimum within the province of Canterbury as time goes on. And province, that's the third word, is key because province is what secures the things we need. So we need a secure Orthodox provision from the top down. Only a province is able to sort out pastoral practice and discipline of clergy and doctrine, and to secure more bishops, which is also where you get ordinations and vicars and church appointments. So only a province is able to do that. If that is what we need, why would we build anything less at this point? And again, I hope this is something that we could all get behind and say, okay, this is a good building block.
Great. And within the Church of England?
Yeah, so that's the parallel bit, I think. Mm. So there are things we can do. It will vary on our church what you can do within your diocese. And again, I just, without us criticising each other, encourage us all to do something. So even if every clergy person in the room here emailed CEC and said, please can I personally have alternative spiritual oversight, which all of us could do without PCC motions and all of that, that would be a big step on the way to a de facto parallel province. And again, once we think the Alliance is over 50% of the young people in the Church of England, we think it is where the majority of the growth is, you're beginning to say, here it is, it's ready. If in the future it was possible for it to be legal, it would be ready with dioceses, bishops, an archbishop just ready to go, and we're demonstrating we're serious about this, we want this, it could work.
Brilliant. And what role do Renew play in the Church of England Evangelical Council and in the Alliance? How do we contribute?
Yeah, thank you. Before I answer the question, just want to say, I think the Alliance is a miracle of God. So if it is what we've been praying for, and we're too miserable sometimes, aren't we, to go, oh, actually, no, this is quite good. So imagine, like, get in a time machine, go back 2 years, 3 years, and find yourself here and tell yourself about the Alliance. Tell yourself about how the breadth of people that are in it and how public those people are about their support for it and how far along the road they've come in terms of they're building a province now and how much the global communion has welcomed it. All of those things are remarkable. So, yes, so Renew within the Alliance. We are significant within the Alliance, a welcomed, honoured, significant partner within it. Something like a third, the other end, the third largest grouping. Is that the right? That's right, I'm told by Kieran. The third largest grouping within the Alliance. I also think we have various kind of particular contributions we can make. So often, Renew churches are the ones who take more direct action before others in the Alliance are able to. And the thing that has changed, I think, since the Alliance began is that now the rest of the Alliance says, thank you, that was great. Whereas in the past, I used to feel they were saying, oh, why did you do that? Whereas now it's genuine welcome and support. And then I think also we bring We haven't had loads of money poured on us in the past, so that actually means we have a certain freedom and we can imagine life without loads of money being poured on you by the denomination. We have an experience of being unpopular and misunderstood that we can offer. Is that not there in John 15 somewhere? This is actually what it's like. And also, we have an experience of what it's like to live under pastoral provision, episcopal pastoral provision. And again, we can contribute to what is good and bad about that.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Charlie, so much. Friends, for New, we're unashamedly, positively complementarian evangelicals. We're contending for the future of complementarians in both current structures and also in new structures that God seems to be raising up. But our role at this time is much, much more than saying, oh, we're complementarian. And we've got numerous distinctives, doctrinally, missiologically, strategically. Our understanding of the gospel and gospel ministry, training for gospel ministry, gospel partnership, I think it's distinctive, even within these groups. That's what drives our positive Renew agenda, as we heard yesterday. As we've seen, our pioneering focus is not just planting, but also revitalizing within the Church of England. And I massively praise God for those of you here working hard, serving in turnaround ministries. Our focus on expository ministry prompts us to prayerfully seek to establish mature, healthy local Anglican churches. The biblical themes of contending for the gospel through unavoidable avoidance, through visible differentiation, it's led us to distinctive priorities as we seek to secure churches for the next generation. And the effect of these things has been multiplied through the depth of our regional and our local partnerships as we stand shoulder to shoulder for the gospel. So I praise God for the Church of England Evangelical Council and for the Alliance, but I do think Renew still has a key role to play in establishing this de facto parallel province. For your prayers, for your council, the Alliance has set up 10 working groups to consider various actions needed in the coming months. As a director, if the archbishops agree to negotiate, Vaughan Roberts will be in those meetings. Vaughan and Charlie are on a group working with key partners across the Anglican Communion. Jane Patterson, who's going to come and lead our prayer time after this, she is chairing the 2026 General Synod Election Planning Group. And Helen Lamb is chairing the legal group, which also includes, among others, Sarah Tett. I'm on a group considering the pre-ordination pipeline and pathway. And Brian is on the group working out what is required for a de facto parallel province now, and what will be required for a provincial structural settlement in the future. So please do formally support your DEFs and your regional alliance meetings, and please do sign up for both as members if you haven't done so already. Please indicate your involvement and your support of Renew. It helps us as stakeholders to know how active and supportive Renew churches are of these groups. And also, please, though, keep prioritising our local Renew meetings so that we stay focused on the evangelisation of England through healthy local Anglican churches, both inside and outside the Church of England. I'm going to be joined now by Chris Houghton. Chris is the Senior Minister of Holy Trinity Gateshead. He's part of the Anglican Mission in England ordination team. Chris, we praise God for you. Thank you for all you are doing to further the gospel in Gateshead, as we heard little bits about that plant coming in South Shields and in the Anglican network in Europe. Amy's target was 25 churches by 2025 and 250 by 2050. I've looked on your website. There's now 30 churches and 2 pioneer churches in Amy. There's 11 UK churches in the Anglican Convocation in Europe. And from next month, a new diocese of Anglican missionary congregations with its 35 churches and a newly consecrated bishop. I praise God for that. Praise God, it's wonderful. What has Amy been focusing on, though, in the last year, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much, Kieran. What we've just heard is another miracle of God's grace, isn't it? As I look back on the history of Amy and where we've come from to see where we are now and those answered prayers along the way. Yeah. So praise God that in his faithfulness and kindness, there is another Anglican structure here in the UK and across Europe where Anglicans, faithful Anglicans, can be welcomed and find a home. So yeah, we've been praising God for that, for all that he's been doing among us. But we've also been lamenting with you and praying for you in the Church of England, because you know, our heart breaks to see what is going on there. And it is an affront to the glory of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? The decisions that have been taken. So know that we've been lamenting with you and praying for you. But I guess some of the outflow of that has meant that some within the Church of England haven't felt able to continue ministering there in good conscience. And so our membership team in particular over this past year has been very busy having conversations with churches and with ministers who actually need to find a healthy Anglican home where they can, in good conscience, continue to minister the gospel of God's grace. So in this past year, we've welcomed four new churches who were previously within the Church of England, most of whom were kind of under a bishop's mission order. And I think it's that process of renewal that has led to conversations with us. But I think it's been a really positive process for those churches that have been involved. It's a really robust membership process. So it's not just kind of simply a case of picking up the phone and saying, can we join? But actually a really significant process working with the local church leadership as well. So that's what a number of members have been involved with. So we're really pleased to welcome those churches. But alongside that, we've also had another church which has come from a more kind of charismatic evangelical background, independent church background, but has looked for healthy relational episcopacy. And they've seen in the kind of current climate with some of the abuses of power and the dynamics of power and the dangers around that, they've actually sought us out as a home where they can be served by relational episcopacy. So praise God for that. But of course, our heart hasn't really been to grow through transfer growth, so to speak. We want to grow by planting new churches and seeing more places with a faithful gospel witness established. So that's another aspect of what we've been doing this year. There's been a new Pioneer Church in on the Isle of Wight, so Hope Church, East Cowes. That started in the past year. And then just a few weeks ago, Christchurch Hessle in Hull, which I think we were going to see a film from yesterday, but we didn't have a chance to. No, not at all. But it's, again, a great joy that there are new churches starting and that little snippet that we heard from South Shields yesterday as well. Now, of course, in all of this, we need the support and help of one another. And I think that, for me, has been one of the joys of being part of Amy for a number of years now, is the commitment across the diocese to praying for and standing with one another. So we have monthly Zoom meetings for our ministers and for others involved in our church leadership. So we've been continuing those. And we had a fantastic conference back in March. The theme was rich. Now, just before anyone thinks that suddenly we're flush with cash as a diocese and that you should be coming to us, it was based really around 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. We're poor, but making many rich. So what does it mean to have a ministry of pouring ourselves out so that others can be enriched as they come closer to Christ? So I'm so thankful to God for our strengthening team. And for that commitment that there is, actually, for standing with one another, praying with one another regularly. And then in the midst of all of that, we've also been seeing others joining us, looking for a path to ordination and the like as well.
Brilliant. Thank you. And so, friends, this means that an alternative Anglican structure already exists outside the Church of England, which some here have already chosen to use. What are some of the challenges? What are some of the dangers for Amy churches at the moment?
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, I think part of our challenge, part of our danger is that some of our churches are small and fragile and, you know, feel the breeze, so to speak. And so we need to keep constantly being reminded of the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus. That if we seek first his kingdom, actually all that we need to do his kingdom work will be added to us. And I think time and again, we see that in reality. And alongside that is finances. So as a network, as a diocese, actually finances continue to be a challenge. And particularly if we want to establish healthy training pathways for the future. We have, want to be able to pay for curacies and the like centrally. Actually, at the moment, central funding is a challenge because we don't have the kind of central pots of money that necessarily you have within the Church of England. So that money is coming from local churches, which is also paying stipends for all the ministers and staff at the local level as well. So please do pray for God's provision there. But again, time and again, we've seen as we step out in faith, the Lord has been wonderfully faithful. And I think as within the Church of England, actually our training pipeline, a need to keep working on that. And there isn't huge numbers who are getting in touch saying we would like to kind of be ordained or seek ordination with Amy. You know, there are some. Not vast numbers.
Chris, thank you so much. Please keep in mind some of the things that Chris has been saying for when we get to our prayer time in a few minutes. Thank you so much. Can I say to my brothers and sisters in Amy, not just Chris, but also in the Anglican network in Europe as well, we love that you're pursuing the Renew agenda because we're evangelicals first. So it just doesn't trouble us that you are doing this outside the Church of England. And we rejoice at what you do for the salvation of many, for the glory of God. And please keep doing as Chris has said you are doing. Please keep praying for us remaining in the Church of England. Please be willing to work with us where you can to advance the gospel, even if at present we've taken different decisions from you in strategy in that way. To those of us inside the Church of England, please can I urge you to join me to please be quick to pray for and partner with and speak well of our brothers and sisters in the Anglican network in Europe. Please can we consider whether we can partner with some of these smaller AME churches prayerfully, financially, practically. And please join with me in rejoicing how God is sovereignly building his church across England. And please resist the temptation to complain about or criticize any who have not remained in the Church of England to fight in the Church of England with us. So we've seen there's no hope in the current House of Bishops. We must stop pretending there is. That day is over. But as we've seen over this last section, the Lord seems to be raising up new leadership structures, CEC, the Alliance, Anglican Network in Europe. So what now? Well, in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapters 10 through 12, the prophet Daniel receives a true word and a vision of great conflict. In chapter 11, verses 21 to 35, Daniel describes how generations later, God's people would come under pressure from a vile king, who we now know as Antiochus Epiphanes. I'm not sure I pronounced that right. Whose forces set up the abomination that makes desolate. At that time, Daniel foresaw God's people in that generation facing twin threats. Persecution, which would drive many to apostasy, and flattery, which would seduce many into compromise and into abandoning the covenant. And I think these are dangers that we recognize all too well in our own generation, don't we? But tucked away amidst the evocative descriptions in that section of the book of Daniel of the considerable challenges that generation would face, Daniel says these words, "But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action." Knowing our God's, our great God's faithfulness, knowing his sovereignty over history, his sovereignty even over wicked and deceptive leaders, this is where true hope is to be found. Hope that empowers us to stand firm and take action. Renew has always emphasized pioneering, establishing and securing healthy local Anglican churches, both inside and outside the Church of England, and working together for gospel advance. So many of the following suggestions for action are focused on those wanting to remain in the Church of England. But we are all called to stand firm and take action in faith. So first, please can I urge you to formally distance yourselves from unorthodox diocesan bishops. And please, as and where you have the opportunity, tell them that due to the division that they have caused, they are no longer welcome in your church families. And please let them know that we have, once we have, requested alternative spiritual oversight from the Church of England Evangelical Council. And if your diocesan bishop is orthodox currently, please can I urge you still to write to CEC, saying that if the situation changed, you would need alternative spiritual oversight. And you want CEC to know that. And why not let your Orthodox bishop know that too? It'll be good for them as they talk with other bishops to know that. Many have done this across our network. Praise God, thank you. But last week, I was disturbed to hear how relatively few churches in London diocese have asked for alternative spiritual oversight. And a few of those who have asked for oversight have yet to inform their diocesan bishop. And so the diocesan bishop has no record of this. Without more clergy and without more churches standing firm and taking action in faith to demonstrate the current provision is not sufficient, there is a real danger that our legitimate and significant concerns will just be ignored and dismissed by bishops who would be delighted to do so, unless we give them the evidence that they really need to listen to us. Others here have already come under the Anglican Network in Europe's oversight or are considering it. That's in terms of oversight. Second, please can I urge us to commit to pursuing the Renew agenda, to form the new provinces from the bottom up. Of course, in practice, what actions we can take will depend on our context, how large or how small our church is, how united or divided our PCC and church family is, how developed our local and regional partnerships are or not, and what action will influence what action we can take together. What we do will depend on the stance of our diocesan bishop as well. Some of these actions I'm going to mention in the next few minutes we should all be taking. Others need more careful consideration by some. But all will need undergirding with prayer, reminding ourselves that the people who know their God will stand firm and take action. So please keep proclaiming the gospel faithfully, doing the work of evangelism and discipleship, teaching faithfully, imitating the Apostle Paul by not shrinking back from declaring the whole counsel of God. We heard yesterday about the importance of pressing on with pioneering, planting and revitalizing churches inside and outside the Church of England. As we've heard, it's almost been a sort of repeated theme of this conference. There is a recruitment crisis facing us, not just in the Church of England, but also in AME and across all churches in this country. We must keep recruiting people for gospel worker pathways. This is a massive priority because without it, we will struggle to pioneer churches or secure churches going forwards inside or outside the Church of England. We've mentioned the Renew Future Leaders Conference in November. Please think about who you can send to that or whether you can club together with others nearby you to set up a Future Leaders Conference on the South Coast or up in the north here or in Yorkshire, northwest, northeast. We probably need all of these things if we're going to address this. Oak Hill, Cornhill, other regional training courses are ready to train but urgently need more people. Who do you know that would benefit from this kind of training? The Alliance has committed to take action with immediate effect to open a pre-ordination stream for potential ordinands. Are there ways that you can work together regionally to support this? Perhaps by working together to set up a selection panel, to offer commissioning services, or to finance those no longer able to be ordained within the Church of England. There are growing numbers of local and regional partnerships within Renew, and there are growing numbers of alternative deanery chapters and partnership synods being set up across the country. If you haven't read it yet, please do read those sections in the pre-conference reading. There was two descriptions of alternative chapters being set up. For those of us who continue to attend regular deanery or diocese meetings, we must be wary of simply attending without taking action. And if we're not taking action in those contexts, are we in danger of what Daniel describes as being flattered and seduced into stumbling and violating the covenant, or supporting those who are doing the flattering, who would love us to stumble? Positive gospel partnership involves financial partnership, pounds if you like, and distancing ourselves from false teaching should also involve separating ourselves financially. Many will be able to use the Ephesian Fund or a good steward's trust to pay parish share or to make individual donations to your churches. Other churches with more united PCCs may be able to withhold or pause paying your parish share. Some of that money could then be used to positively partner with others in gospel ministry, like in Amy, like ministers revitalizing churches who could desperately use some of that money, or workers to be trained outside the Church of England's ordination pathway. These are just some of the ways that people who know their God can persevere with hope, can stand firm, and can take action in faith in our generation. And we can pray that these actions would be used by God to simultaneously grow the Anglican network in Europe, to establish a de facto parallel province with the Church of England, and to put pressure on the archbishops to come and negotiate for a permanent settlement. Before wrapping up so that we can pray, I'd like to just highlight what I think are several dangers that we might face over the next years. Some here may be in danger of trying to ignore living in love and faith, or just trying to stay quiet and slip under the radar, thinking, well, others are taking action, so perhaps I just don't need to. Maybe you're in a turnaround situation where you are isolated, or your PCCs are just split, or even maybe united against you, and so you haven't taught publicly on it. And teaching on controversial topics can feel really costly. Over the past year, as well as those I mentioned at the beginning who've left on that side, people have left on the other side from our church family because they support same-sex marriage in church. We've had people leave on both sides, but because I've been teaching faithfully. And I just think that that is really key, that we know that not teaching the whole counsel of God is just unfaithful. It leaves us without confidence that we are innocent of people's blood over the long term. And it is unsustainable too. It is much better for us to lose ones or twos now, but gain congregational clarity, which can lead to long-term growth. Please don't be those that Daniel says will be seduced with flattery by those who violate the covenants. Please stand firm and take action because you know our God. Some may feel weary and find the cost of standing firm find the cost just too costly, especially when ungodly bishops are coercive with parish share or threaten to withdraw curacies or external funding. We must remember that paying parish share is voluntary in the Church of England. And if our denomination was faithful and wasn't using soft power against us, it would be entirely appropriate for us to pay it. Resisting unfaithfulness is costly, but it brings great honour to God, and it is better for us to suffer for doing what is right. Another danger is that we could be so consumed by contending that we get distracted from discipleship and evangelism. Friends, you know your own personal dangers with this and how real this may or may not be for you. But can I say to you, if you're a minister, you don't have to do everything in and for your church family. Why not seek to find one or two clear-thinking, faithful people in your church family to engage more in the politics side of it? You may need to be involved to some extent, of course, like every area of church life often. But sometimes senior lay leaders can resist false teaching far more effectively even than vicars can. And we must not give up our ministry of the word and prayer just to focus on contending. As a network, some here feel the danger of isolation, particularly those in turnaround churches or those in rural areas. And the bishops, a bit like the post office did all those years ago, will tell you that, oh, you're the only one in this situation, feeling as you do. Please can I urge you to reach out to people here, if that's the case, to larger, more united churches in your diocese, if that exists for you, or in a neighbouring diocese, or to Renew nationally, so that we can seek to support you. Resisting is often easier when it's done together. Sadly, the bishops do try to pick off churches where they think they can get away with it. So friends, those of us in more established positions must stand alongside and take action on behalf of those who are vulnerable and being persecuted. And then final danger, there's a danger, I think, that we might be disunited of disunity amongst ourselves. We are in different churches, in different dioceses, with different consciences and different convictions. Some have joined Annie. Others are determined to contend in the Church of England for now. But whatever our context, we are God's people. So let's not judge one another, but let's love one another, support one another in word and in deed. And those in more united churches, again, we may need to do more because those in turnaround situations will find it really difficult to. But if we've been in a turnaround situation for years and years, God willing, I pray that you're moving towards getting the church leadership and PCC on the same page so that that church family too can stand firm and take action together to resist error. We cannot just wait for others to act. Those who know their God will stand firm and take action and keep taking action. Friends, if not now, then when? We must not put our trust in anything other than our great God. There is no hope in the current Church of England leadership. We must stop pretending there is. That day is over. The Lord seems to be raising up new leadership structures, so let's stand firm and take action to establish those structures for the glory of God. At Daniel chapter 11, verse 35 itself, it recognizes that Daniel's prophecy for that particular generation doesn't take us all the way to the end. Moving forwards, though, into the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it picks up some of Daniel's language, his apocalyptic language, in those sections. And 2 Thessalonians 2 ends with a wonderfully timely prayer that those who know their God would persevere in hope, stand firm and take action. I'm going to finish by praying in those verses for all of us. Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, I give thanks to God for you all, because God chose you from the beginning to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through the apostolic gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the apostolic traditions that you were taught. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen. Jane Patterson, who is on General Synod, who is an Alliance stakeholder, who serves at Christchurch Forward, will now come and lead us as we pray in light of what we've heard. Thanks, Jane.
Good morning, everyone. We have been reminded of God's sovereignty, his mercy, his faithfulness, that he is able and he is the person who is our hope both now and forever. We have also learnt of our need to lament and repent, for our words to be matched by our actions, for the work that needs to be done to restore the honour of the name of the Lord. We have just learnt in more detail about the present reality in the church in England. So conscious of our need, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness, full assurance of faith. Around our tables, let us pray through some of the many needs in the church today. In each section, there will be a number of prayer points that come up on the screen to help us. And after a few minutes, I will invite you to respond using the refrains in Psalm 80. John assures me that these will appear on the screen, so thank you, John. So let's pray for those in national leadership, for Archbishops Justin and Stephen, the house and the college, and for their need to repent. For our Orthodox bishops, for Rob Munro, currently recovering from a serious hand injury, and others. For those of us on General Synod and the Evangelical Group on General Synod. For the Church of England Evangelical Council, Julian Henderson, its president, John Dunnett, the National Director, Helen Lamb, who chairs the working group. For the Alliance, directors, stakeholders, programme board, and the 10 working groups. Let's pray. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Now let's pray for churches in their local context, for church life that is marked by grace and truth and faithfulness to the gospel, for integrity, that our words are matched by how we live, by how we love, both fellow believers and those who do not yet know Christ. For positive engagement in communities, in deanery and diocesan synods. For the building of partnerships across networks, including diocesan evangelical fellowships. Let's pray. Restore us, O God, Lord of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Now let's pray for AMIE, for Bishop Andy Lines, for Bishops Tim and Lee, and other ministers, for their mission plan, for those churches which are small or fragile, for partnership with those of us who are still in the Church of England. And let's also pray for Renew, for the work of pioneering and revitalisation, for faithful, courageous expository preaching, for securing Orthodox gospel witness, for contending for the gospel, for local and regional partnerships. Let's pray. As we draw these prayers to a close, let us say the following words together. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we might be saved. Let us now pray for the future, for grace and truth to be the hallmarks of all our words and actions, for courageous conversations with bishops, PCCs, and church families, for the creation of a de facto parallel province in the Church of England, for the raising up of new church leaders, for a new expression of partnership in the Anglican Communion with GSFA and GAFCOM, for the re-reformation, for the revival of the Church in England to the honour of the Lord's name. Let us pray. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort our hearts and establish them in every good work and deed. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Many thanks, Jane. What a great morning. Thanks to Jane and to Karen and especially to Mike for stepping in at the last minute. What a super morning. Just before we break for coffee, could we just do a few quick book plugs? Would that be all right?
I'm going to ask my beautiful assistant to help me here. Can you just hold that for a moment? Thank you very much. Wow. This is a beautiful 7-volume set of J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts on the Gospels done in modern English. Old, but timeless, like many of us here. Normally, it would retail at £99.99, but just for you, They are £45 or 2 for £70. Ooh. That warms my Scottish heart. And there are only 91 sleeps till Christmas. Good Book, 10 of those, sorry, have come out with another, sorry, really sorry about that, very sorry, don't know where that came from. 10 of those have come out with another of their Christmas giveaways, Special Delivery by Colin Webster. What's the best present you could hope to wake up to on Christmas Day? And then it just talks about how even the best present will not ultimately satisfy, but wouldn't it be great to have a gift worth receiving? These are £1 each, so do grab some of those as you start your Christmas planning.
Yeah, great for giving away. And if you haven't come across this one, Latimer Books, The Church's One Foundation, What Orthodoxy Means, Why It Matters, Gerald Bray. This leans into lots of the stuff we were talking about this morning, and particularly the argument that we're hearing more and more that those who hold to sort of a traditional line on these things can't claim the label orthodox on the grounds that orthodoxy, defined by the creeds, none of which mention sexuality. And this book, if you've not read it, is a really helpful, brilliant response to that line that we're hearing more and more. So Latimer Books at the back.
You'll be glad to hear it's time now for coffee break, coffee and tea and hopefully cookies, served just through the curtain. Can I just remind you to move away from the tables once you've got your tea and coffee, just so that others can come in. And also, please, let's love one another well. Let's keep an eye out for those who are on their own, and let's serve one another in that way. And then listen out for your call back, because we'll be back here by 11:40 for our next session. Thank you.